Hey, KU fans, Matt Tate here at the KU Sports Hour at KUSports.com. I'm back for another episode of Meeting Bill Self. And today we've got the voice of the Jayhawks, Brian Haney, joining us for his first memories of meeting Bill Self. Brian, thanks for joining us. How's everything going?
Hey, it's going great, my friend. Thanks for having me be a part of this. I'm honored.
Yeah, well, my pleasure. You're not only the current voice of the Jayhawks and spend a lot of time with Bill Self, but you are one of the great storytellers, whether it's a KU story or just a story about something that happened to you. I've always loved hearing you tell stories, so naturally you were a name that came to mind for this, and I'm really excited for people to hear your story about when you first met Bill Self. First of all, when was it? And then take us through it.
Well, I think, like a lot of folks, I got to meet him at the introductory press conference and then had limited exchanges in the bigger media settings that we would get on a weekly basis at the weekly press conferences followed by the sit-down lunches. But my first real connection one-on-one privately between the two of us probably didn't come until a year into his tenure. And to give you a little bit of a backdrop heading into that, I think the thing that excited me the most when Kansas was looking for Roy Williams' replacement, and we first started hearing that Bill Self might be the favorite, I read an article about an exchange he'd had during his Illinois tenure where I believe it was one of his beat writers had a parent that was ailing physically and kind of on their deathbed, and Coach Self, knowing what it would mean to this person suffering and living out their final hours, to hear from the Illinois head coach about what he thought of their son and the great job they'd done in raising their son who'd go on to be this great beat writer, he knew the impact that would have, and he knew what a difference that could make in providing a little bit of joy late in the life of this ailing parent. And I read that article about him, and I thought, wow, we're really getting a good one here, a guy that gets it. He understands the platform he's been given and what 10 or 30 seconds of his time could do to really lift the spirits of someone who's either going through something tough or, in this case, in their final hours. What a great way to give them some joy down the stretch. And so I knew we were getting that caliber of guy, and I saw glimpses of that in my first season covering him. But at the time, I was not only the sports director at KLWN doing Rock Chalk Sports Talk and KU pregame and all that stuff, but I was also doing some recruiting coverage for Fog.net at the time. And like any 20-something journalist, try to do whatever I could to scratch some extra checks together and make some extra money. And so he knew me in two capacities, but we never really had a sit-down just us. And also during that time, just to be open with you and vulnerable about my life, I was going through a really tough season where my marriage was coming to an end. And we had just kind of grown apart. And somehow he had heard about that. And so he called me into his office and he set up the meeting. I thought it was going to be about the stuff that I was writing and the show that I'm doing on a daily basis from 3 to 6 on KLWN and how we can get to know each other and get on the same page there. And we maybe talked about that for 60 seconds. But the real gist of why he brought me in that day, at least I think so, based on how much we talked about it, was he brings up the fact that he heard that I'm going through a divorce. And is this true? How are you doing? Are you hanging in there? What's going on? And so I give him a nickel version of the story and how, yes, the toughest season I've been through in my life, but I think it's going to be okay. And if I thought they were going to be okay heading into his office, I certainly was convinced life was going to be grand leaving his office, because for the first time in my life, firsthand, I got to see that Bill Self magic when it comes to pumping somebody up, instilling belief in them, whether it's to break huddle, go out on the floor and hit the game-winning shot like he did with Mario Chalmers in 2008 in San Antonio, or in my case, you know, pick up the pieces of a broken marriage, know you got a lot going for you, and life's going to be okay. I'll never forget it. He said it like this, and I do a terrible Bill Self impression, so please don't hold me to this, but this is my best Bill Self with a little bit of Oklahoma draw. He goes, he looks me in the eye, he leans into his desk, and I'm sitting across from him, probably 6 feet away, he puts both hands on the desk, he leans in, eye to eye, and he goes, "Haney, you're a stud. All the time, I got girls asking me to set him up with a good guy, a genuine guy. Well, Haney, you're my guy." and he points at me. And I mean, here I am, you know, 25 years old, something like that, and here's the head coach of the Kansas Jayhawks, not really giving me dating advice, but basically telling me I'm a catch, life's going to be fine. He's got all kinds of women that are looking for a genuine quality human being, and he thinks I'm in that category or cut from that cloth. And I walked out of there, I'm 6'3". I walked out of there feeling like I was 7'4". My chest is puffed out, thinking, wow, you know, Coach Self thinks that I'm a decent guy, and he says life's going to be okay, so I'm sure it will be. Now, Matt, I'll tell you, a decade and a half has passed since then. Not once, all the pretty girls he knows, not once has he set me up with anybody. But he was absolutely right. Life has been grand, and he instilled in me the belief and the confidence and all of that, that, hey, this may be a tough thing you're going through right now, but you know what? You got a lot going for you, and it's going to all work out. And I can see now, whether it's in coaching, whether it's in picking somebody up who's going through chemotherapy treatments or some other life-altering disease, he understands the magnitude of his words and how just taking a few seconds to breathe some life into somebody or some encouragement someone's way, what a difference that can make, what an impact that can have. And so I don't know if he still thinks I'm a stud like he did back then, but somehow he knew I needed to hear that. And from that day forward, I've always felt like, you know, we had a special connection, and he's helped me many times since, including getting the Texas Tech job. I could tell you some of those stories, but it all started with that very first sit down in his office when he saw me going through a tough time and decided to breathe a little confidence into my walk.
Yeah, wow, that's terrific. You alluded to it a little bit, but how much did that catch you off guard, that he wanted to talk to you about you and not just basketball or how you could help or what you were doing? I mean, how, you know, did you expect that? Did you? I know you said that you knew KU was getting a good coach, a good man to do the job to replace Roy, but how much did that catch you off guard to have that happen?
Well, I knew he cared about people, and I'd seen little glimpses of that in his first season, and obviously knew about the Illinois story that I opened with, but I really thought I was going into his office that day to talk about me as the local radio guy and a guy that did some writing on the side, and had no idea he knew I was going through that as well. And so when the bulk of the conversation ended up being about that, I thought, wow, how cool is that, that he wanted to take the time to pump me up like that? So yeah, it was not at all surprising that he was capable of such a generous act, but the fact that he made it about me and took the time to invest in a guy that he really didn't know that well at that point, he knew of me, but wanted to pick me up from a dark place that I might have been going through. I just thought the world of him after that and have ever since.
Yeah, very cool. You said you'd tell us, so you better tell us the Texas Tech job. You were down there, what, 4 years? Is that right?
4 years, yeah.
So how did that come about?
Well, you know, it was a huge blessing for me that the head coach at the time was one of his very best friends, Billy Gillespie. And so not only did he make a call on my behalf to Coach Gillespie, and I got to sit next to him as he made that call, and I got to hear him selling me up to somebody else, and thought, wow, no wonder this guy gets every recruit. But that was huge. But I'll never forget what may have clinched it in the eyes of the network was when he called Tom Bowman, who's the head of talent decisions at the time for Learfield. Now it's Learfield IMG. And I'd already asked Coach Self so many favors in reaching out to Coach Gillespie and other people, but I knew I needed one last little push. And one thing that I've learned about Coach Self over the years is that if you're timid and if you're not self-assured and you kind of wobble in and ask for something without that self-confidence, and, oh, I don't know about this, you know, he'll make sure, is this really what you want to do? Are you sure? Whereas if you walk in and you show him, hey, this is my plan, this is my purpose, this is what I want to do, will you join me in this effort? He'll absolutely get on board. In other words, he responds to, you know, some of that macho self-confidence, sense of direction, sense of purpose, this is where I want to go. And so, because I'd asked him about previous jobs and calling on my behalf, and I think I was a little more hesitant, and he sensed that, and he didn't go all in on that one. But he knew for me to one day be considered to come back home as the voice of the Jayhawks, I needed to land a similar caliber job in a major conference, and Texas Tech seemed like such a great fit, which is why he was so willing to call Coach Gillespie on my behalf. But in order to get that one last favor, that one last ask, knowing that he was such a great closer, I mean, this guy was getting two or three McDonald's All-Americans every year at this point, it seemed like, producing lottery picks, one or two per draft at this point. He was the closer. And I knew if I came in confident, I could ask for one more favor. So I got a Rawlings official Major League Baseball. And on the sweet spot of the baseball, I wrote Tom Bowman and his cell number. Again, this is the head decision maker for the network that owns the rights to Texas Tech. And I walk into his office, and I'm standing about 8 feet away. And I say, Coach, I need you to be my Mariano Rivera. And he looks up at me and says, what? And then I throw him the ball, and he catches the ball, and I say, close this deal. And he laughs, and he looks at the ball, and he puts it on his desk. He says, all right, B, I got you. And he makes the call later that day, and the rest is history. I get the job. But I knew he'd be willing to go the extra mile for me if I showed him I really wanted it, and I wasn't messing around. This is where I need to be. He'd get behind that, and sure enough, he did. And between that and the call he made to Coach Gillespie, that's probably the biggest reasons why I got to go to Texas Tech and eventually get to come back home.
Yeah, man, that's a great story, too. I love it. I want to ask, too, about the transition to coming back home, because – obviously, those are past experiences. You'd been around him. He'd been around you. But when you come back and do it at Kansas, the time you spend around him is exponentially greater, right? I mean, you're doing Hawk Talk with him. You're on the road with him. You're doing pregame with him. I mean, what was that transition like when you first came back to do the gig at KU? And obviously, you guys didn't lose touch or anything like that, but you know, now it was on a whole different level. How did that first early transition go?
You know, it was great because he's such a professional and he genuinely cares about people that are working with him on his team. And his team isn't just the 12 or 14 guys rocking the crimson and blue uniforms. It's his people in media, his people on the basketball staff, people that work at Allen Fieldhouse. I heard Brett Ballard in your conversation with him talking about no matter what role you play in the Kansas basketball equation, he sees value in you and treats you the same and all of that. And so because he's so great in that regard, it was a really smooth transition. Now, it was different than our previous dynamic because I go from seeing him in a once or twice a week setting when you're more than an arm's distance because you're one of 30 media members to now recording stuff with him almost daily between the TV shows, the Hawk Talks, the pregame interviews, all that. And it definitely took some feeling out to see how he liked questions to be asked, you know, how he wanted you know, certain things to be phrased. And yet at the same time, I think you know this, Matt, as well as anybody, he's not a coach that shies away from anything or pulls any punches when it comes to being straight up and talking about his team, his players, whatever. I just kind of had to learn about the storylines that he wants us to go down the road on. And so, yeah, it was a great first season. It went as smoothly as I could have hoped. And, of course, we had the National Player of the Year, Frank Mason. We had a team that's my first game on the call is voice of the Jayhawks wins in Madison Square Garden. People might not remember, but Josh Klingler did the Indiana game before because we had football that day. So I actually got to call a win in my first official call as the voice of the Jayhawks as opposed to that loss out in Hawaii. But what a season, start to finish. You know, win in Rupp Arena, chance to play for a right to go to the Final Four, and obviously it came up short. Our hearts were broken in Kansas City. But to have a 31-win season in my first year working with him, to cover the National Player of the Year, to cover the number 4 pick in the draft, the team had some adversity, too, with the Azubuki injury and all of that. But along the way, he could not have been a bigger joy to work with and a pro, you know, more so than what he was in accepting in the new guy, knowing that it was going to be a little bit different. Our dynamic on Hawk Talk was going to be different. But hopefully there's changes or additions made that were Welcome to Dishons. I know in talking to Cindy, his wife, the first season of Hawk Talk, she said, hey, is there anything you can do to spruce it up so it's not just the same questions over and over from the call-ins and the listeners and all that? Can we add something? And so we started adding one segment of the show being a fun interactive game, which at the time was the Big Blue Bucket, where we drew out random player questions that had been previously recorded. Now we spin the wheel. And so, you know, the worst thing you can do in following a legend like Bob Davis is to do things the exact same way, expecting, you know, it to go as well as it did. There'll never be another Bob Davis as good as he was. He's a legend. Absolutely one of the greatest to ever call games at the collegiate level. And so Coach Self knew that I was going to sound a little different. I was probably going to phrase things a little bit different. And with the tip of his wife, we were going to do things a little bit differently on the Hawk Talk show. But, you know, that's me trying to carve my own niche. And he was accepting of that and certainly supportive of that. And so we found our groove, just like Greg and I found our stride, you know, during that season as well, and feeling each other out and discovering how it was going to be in the new era. And, again, Coach Self could not have been more gracious and helpful in that process in making the transition as smooth as it could possibly be.
Yeah, very cool. Brian, take us through some of those post-Hawk Talk moments, or maybe even during the airing of the show. I know he's incredible interacting with the people there that come to watch and come to eat and come to be a part of that. I mean, you might have talked about that a little bit earlier, about just how he kind of can pick people up and give them 30 seconds and make them feel like they're on cloud nine. I mean, do you see that regularly in those settings when you're doing Hawk Talk? It sure sounds like it, listening on the radio and you know, following along with it. It sounds like those people there are hanging on every word and feeling like they're, you know, part of an exclusive club.
They really do. And Coach Self absolutely does what you just described. I mean, he will work the room, usually after the show, because sometimes he's coming in right as the open is playing, so he takes his time after the show to go around and shake hands, kiss babies, all that. But I've been at schools before where the head coach literally sneaks out the kitchen with still 20 minutes to go on the show, and they have an assistant finish the rest of the way just so he doesn't get mobbed. And then there's Bill Self, who does get mobbed but doesn't mind it because he expects it and he wants to invest in people. He wants to give hugs to the regulars and to sign an autograph for a kid who wants it or pose for a picture. He's so understanding of the platform he's been blessed with and the difference he can make from it. And in the same way that he lifted up the dying parents of that Illinois beat writer or picked me up when I was going through a rough season in my personal life, now it's not uncommon, probably 10 times a year, I'll have him record a video message for a kid that's fighting cancer or somebody that's going through a difficult fight. And a lot of times we'll do those at the end of Hawk Talk or during a commercial break, because I know his time is precious. But at the same time, he realizes that even 30 seconds spent on a off-the-cuff, non-scripted video is going to get played 1,000 times over for that person on the receiving end and mean the absolute world to that person. And so he understands the ability he has to breathe life and hope and encouragement into others, as well as any coach or player I've ever worked with. And that, to me, is what's so cool about Bill Self. I think his greatest ability, or his superpower, as I like to say, is his people skills, where if he meets you once, he'll remember your name and one thing about you. And he may ask you about that same thing for the next 10 conversations you have, but he could go 12 months in between seeing you, and he'll remember that person. And it's such an incredible skill to have. I tell people all the time, if I could have a superhero power, it wouldn't be Superman's ability to fly or somebody else's x-ray vision. It would be Bill Self's ability to remember names and faces, because of the value that creates in the person that you're recognizing. You show value in them by remembering their name, and he's the best at that. And so I see that now on a daily basis, not just in remembering people's names, but taking the time to invest in them. And for a guy that, if you think about it, meets thousands of people a year, a guy, if you think about it, probably gets 200 to 300 texts a day, and how many voicemails and emails and all that, the fact that he takes time to try to respond to as many as he can, and when there's a special situation that requires special attention because somebody's going through something life-altering or earth-shattering, he understands this is 30 seconds well spent, because the dividends it's going to pay in boosting this person's spirits will be tenfold. And he gets that far greater than anyone I've ever covered, any place I've been, any sport. And that's why, amongst a dozen other reasons, we've got the best guy in the country. And that's why, amongst a infinite amount of reasons, I feel like the luckiest guy in the country to get to be his play-by-play guy and tell his story on a daily basis here at KU.
Very well said. Let's get you out of here on this one. You've had a few years now, and a lot of good games, a lot of good wins, a lot of wins, period. Do you have a favorite Bill Self Kansas game you've called since you became the voice of the Jayhawks? Is that a loaded question, or can you?
No, that's an excellent question. I think for me, there's a favorite regular season game and a favorite postseason game. So I'll quickly give you.
All right, we'll take both.
You know, the comeback in 2017 versus West Virginia, down 14 with about 2:48 to go. People filing out. Of course, I can't hear Dick Vitale, even though he's 10 feet down the line from us, but he's talking about, oh my gosh, baby, they're leaving at the field house. This thing's over. You know, and yet the belief from those that remained in the building that we still had a chance, and the belief of the players on the floor, mostly due to their head coach and the fact that they know wild stuff happens in this building. You got to play the full 40. Something's going to happen. And Devontae starts hitting threes, and then you could just feel the building, the aura, the energy start to take over. And I'll never forget it. You know, Nathan Adrian, great player for West Virginia. I mean, not a star player, but had a good four-year career. Local guy from up there. He's trying to get the ball in bounds, and it is so loud. The crowd is so imposing. You can almost, you know, feel the bleachers rattling and shaking, and I can see his knees wobbling as he's trying to get the ball in bounds, and just the pressure of the moment and the power and the aura and the mystique of the building weighing down on top of him. They can't get it in. 5-second violation. KU gets the ball, and as you know, we go on to win the game in one of the most amazing comebacks ever in a short window of time. I'll never forget that, because as a play-by-play guy, on our demo reels, if we're sending out our best of clips to get a job somewhere, or even just as you hear highlight montages for some of our favorite games, the best calls are always the most charged calls when you hear the atmosphere behind the announcer, and the announcer's able to have the elevation of his voice rise to meet the excitement of the crowd. Bob Davis, my predecessor, was the best at that. There'll probably never be another as good as him in having that vocal climb to meet the elevation of the crowd's excitement. Well, in that moment, I had so many chances to do that with one big Devontae shot after another, or a key steal or a stop. And this is my first year. This is my first call. And while I've been to games my entire life in the fog, this was my first chance to do that in a historic fashion, like the comeback versus UCLA back in the 90s, or the comeback versus Mizzou in 2012. This was my first taste to sit in the chair and be on the call for that. And so I'll always cherish that day. I'll remember that iconic photo that Jeff Jacobson took of Coach Self with one arm around Devontae as they left the floor. And that'll always be one of my favorite days, no matter how long I get to live my dream as the voice of the Jayhawks. But then quickly, my favorite postseason call to this point has to be Omaha, the Elite Eight, the Kansas-Duke game that goes to overtime, Malik Newman taking over, the shot by Grayson Allen that hangs up on the rim for what felt like an eternity, like an egg on an equinox. It's just sitting up there on the front of the cylinder and falls off, and we win. Ultimately, in overtime, we win, that is.
Were those the words?
No, I think we talked about the egg equinox thing after the fact, but not as it happened. But yeah, the fact that we got to punch our ticket for the Final Four for the first time of what will hopefully be many times with us getting to work together as a broadcast crew, that was just so special. And I remember, you know, we're standing up as the final seconds rip off the clock in OT, and we're hugging, and Coach Howard's coming over giving fist bumps and high fives, and it was the culmination of so many years of preparation and dreaming big dreams to get to be in that spot, call your alma mater, going to the Final Four. And even though it didn't work out a week later for us in San Antonio, just that magical ride of getting to that point and seeing this team really come together down the stretch of that 2018 season, a team that at that point, 15 years deep in Bill Self's career, you might have ranked I don't know, 10th or 11th in terms of talent on paper heading in, or teams most well-built to make a run like that, and yet they end up being his third Final Four team, which just goes to show you the unpredictable nature of March Madness and how many times the teams best equipped to make the run don't, and sometimes surprise teams do. And yet how fortunate are we that had this tournament played out last month, this would have been our 9th one seed in 14 years. The fact that we're in the hunt, not just with a chance to win it, but with an expectation to be still standing when the last four teams are unveiled almost every single year, that speaks to the incredible coaching acumen of Bill Self and his staff. That speaks to how fortunate we are as Kansas fans. There aren't reloading or rebuilding years, but maybe once every 15 or 20. Otherwise, we're in it every single year. And that happens at very few other places. I would argue our regular season consistency, which is backed up by the, you know, 3 decades straight of making the tournament every year and all the conference titles and all the projected 1 or 2 seeds, it's far and above anything else out there in terms of consistency. And when you add Bill Self's people skills that I talked about and how much he gets it to what he gives us on the court as the coach every single year, October through March, man, are we lucky to have this guy. And guys like you and me that get to be around him on a daily basis, we're having the time of our lives getting to cover this era of Kansas basketball.
Well said. Those are great memories, man, and as is your memory of meeting him officially for the first time. That's a good one. People are going to enjoy that one, so I appreciate you sharing it, and thanks for taking some time here to join this Meeting Bill Self episode. That's Brian Haney, the voice of the Jayhawks. Thanks very much, Brian.
Hey, I want you to know, Matt, you're a stud, all right? And you already found your girl, but she knows as well, you're a stud.
That's a good way to end it, man. I'll take it. I appreciate it. Thanks again, Brian. Have a good one, and stay safe, man.
Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
That was Brian Haney with more Meeting Bill Self memories here at the KU Sports Hour. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you guys again real soon on another episode. Take care, everybody.